A good morning to all and God's blessing to each one. Just a few comments concerning Christian Light. I'm going into the third week of these meetings, having started 2 weeks ago. We have a meeting in Strawberry tomorrow and then in Boley, Oklahoma on Wednesday and ending up in Seminole, Texas on Friday. And just prior to leaving on the trip, probably about Wednesday of that week, I got down with a real bad cold, and I thought, am I even going to go on this trip? And so my throat is a bit scratchy yet. I apologize for that. I've been living off of water and cough drops, and I see someone put a few up here for me. Thank you. I have some in my pocket, so I think I'm well equipped. And so in planning these trips, we were in Lincoln, Missouri on Friday and going to Strawberry. I usually look for a community that is also connected to Christian Light to camp for the weekend. And so we arrived here late afternoon yesterday, and we'll move on to Strawberry this afternoon. So it gives us a halfway point or something of that nature. And so I contacted Brother Nathan a number of weeks ago, and he welcomed us into this community. Now, before I go further, and I don't want to embarrass this congregation, but I have a story I'd like to tell of something that happened here about 15 years ago. Now, I want all of you to subtract 15 years from your age, and I know that's going to eliminate quite a few up front here. I was here about 15 years ago, and as I was preaching, one of those embarrassing things happened. The children up front here started tittering a bit, and, you know, then as a public speaker, you know, what did I do now? What did I say wrong? And I was a bit uneasy. And I never did find out until after the service, they told me that there was a visitor in church and there was a mouse running across the back of the bench. Would anyone remember that? Wouldn't expect you to. And what had happened, they told me, is you had just finished your Bible school here, and with that many young people in and out, you know, some snacks and so on ended up in the book racks, and this mouse must have found it and enjoyed it. And so that is history 15 years ago. And being on a trip for Christian education, I thought it might be valuable to just continue on that theme. And so this morning I'd like for us to look at the value of a Christian education. Our theme this year on the workshop has been from protection to provision. And we've looked at the past on how our schools got started and where we are presently and what's ahead in the future. And so this morning I'd like to look at the value of a Christian education. Why? Why do we go to the extent that we do to educate our children in our own schools when we could be sending them to the public school with a lot less expense and work and effort on our part? I'll begin with two quotes that are hundreds of years old. The first one by Aristotle, who lived some 300 years before Christ. And it's recorded that Aristotle said, "All who have meditated on the art of governing mankind are convinced that the fate of empires depends on the education of youth." One of the leaders of the Reformation 500-600 years ago wrote this. He said, "I'm much afraid that schools will prove to be great gates of hell unless these schools diligently labor in explaining the scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not increasingly occupied with the word of God must become corrupt." And I'd like to start with that on the Word of God. And I'm going to be using various scriptures just from here and there. It's not an exposition of any chapter or portion. and I trust that I will not be taking them at least too far out of context, so you probably will not be able to follow as I go through some of these rather quickly. But I'd like for us to begin with a foundation of the Word, this Word of God. And I'd also like to enlarge on that. Not only do we have the written Word, we also have the living Word, Jesus Christ himself. In John 1, you know, he is in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we have the living Word of God, and we have the written Word of God that has been so well preserved for us over the years. And so I begin this morning with the foundation that God simply is. God simply is. And in recognizing that God is, we recognize then that we have a responsibility to him. And I take you without turning to it to Exodus chapter 3, where we have the account of Moses out on the desert and approaching a burning bush that was not being consumed. And as he approached that bush, he heard a voice, the voice of God. And recognizing that voice, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. You know, Jesus later used that same statement in connecting himself with the Jehovah of Moses there in the burning bush when he said, I am that I am. We recognize God as our creator. And as a creator, we have a responsibility to him. And are you aware that the push from evolution is to try to get away from the responsibility that we have and the accountability to a God greater than we are? And so we have in Genesis 1:1, as we recognize in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. A New Testament account of that in Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and before him all things, and by him all things consist. God also is the revealer. He reveals to us himself in 2 Peter. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so, as parents, grandparents, teachers, we recognize that God's word is the only true guide for teaching in our schools, in our homes, in our Sunday schools, in our churches, in the training of our children. Education based upon and centered on the word of God is very, very important. I appreciate the devotional this morning on wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we have that wisdom available to us in the Word of God, and we avail ourselves of that in our teaching. Remember, our children are not our own. They are given to us on loan from God for a short time as we look back on the passing of time and the passing of generations. Therefore, it behooves us to take very seriously the opportunity we have to teach our children. And that is one of the important things, the values of Christian education and the importance of it. In Psalm 127, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And I rejoice with you in seeing your children here, your young people. If I ever get into a congregation without children and young people, there's not much hope for the future. I've been to a few places like that, and it's sad, and it grieves us. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You know, I've been in a few homes last week where the young people were involved in archery, bow hunting. And when you think of sending that arrow is reaching farther than what you can reach with your hands and with your body. It becomes an extension of what you are doing and the capabilities that you have. And that's how children are. Our children can reach much further in influence than what we can. And so it behooves us to teach and to train them in that way. Presently, my wife and I have two married children and families in Thailand. And they are reaching much further than what I can reach. And so we bless them in that work. I'd like to look now at the Jewish culture for just a bit. The Jewish people left us examples of diligence in educating our children. A bit of a side note here, I'm told by those who do prison ministry that you find very few Jewish men, women in prisons. I cannot verify that further than quoting what someone has told me. Josephus, the early Jewish historian, wrote, "Our principal care of all is this, to educate our children well." Now, earlier I had asked you to subtract 15 years from your age. Now I'd like for you to add 100 years. And think about 100 years from now. Probably very few of these will be here 100 years from now. But I'd like for us to think 100 years from now, when our cultures will be analyzed by the archaeologists, what will they find? What would they see in the ruins of our buildings? Would they see our businesses, our houses who have crumbled by then? Our cars and trucks that we have today are going to be decaying heaps of rubble and junk rusting away in a junkyard if they haven't been recycled prior to that. But more important than that is, what will they find that will help them to analyze our values? It's not so much the buildings, the business, the vehicles that we leave behind, but what will they conclude about our value system? What would they find that was important enough for us to pass on to our children and grandchildren? What is important to you? What is important to me? And I believe the answers to those questions should help us to teach our children in wisdom, that they truly follow the way of wisdom that we heard about this morning. We must teach the word and how it applies to everyday living. We must be willing to teach values, including our culture. You know, I fear that in too many places, we as Anabaptists may be struggling with an identity crisis. Do we know who we are? Do we know why we do the things we do? Are we doing well in passing it on to the oncoming generations? That's our responsibility. It's even our opportunity. Our culture is unique, and it deserves to be preserved for the next generations. At the same time, we also need to be teaching our children skills. And they have native skills and talents. And our children are not all equipped to do the same things. And so we need to be able to find out, what are the strengths of our children? What are the strengths of our young people? And how can they then, how can we best help them build up their strong points? We must train our children to get along with each other. We must train our children how to obtain a godly living and lifestyle. We must also, in our schools, teach them the basics of academics, and I trust and believe that you're already doing that. And I'll just cover that a little bit. I know this isn't a teacher meeting. Maybe it's a parent-teacher meeting, but a few basics. You know, in years gone by, they used to talk about the three R's, the reading, writing, and arithmetic. We have different words for some of those today, but I'd like to just look at some of that. And I believe one of the most basic things we teach is the skill of reading. Boys, do you understand how important it is to read, and you girls as well? Reading is very important, and you can enlarge your life so well by what you read. You know, and to teach reading, we need a good phonics program, and I am very seriously handicapped. And some of you maybe as well. We went to school in a generation when they did not teach phonics. There was a time when phonics was out, and we just learned by Dick and Jane, see Dick run, see catch the dog and the cat and all of that, by using sight words and memorizing them. And so even today, I feel I'm handicapped by not having been taught phonics and learning to read. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." A number of years I did a series of messages on education in a Bible school, and I set aside one whole class period on the Jewish system of education. And from what I learned in research was that the Jews were the first culture that had their education primarily so that they learned to read the word, the Holy Scriptures. And so I think we have that opportunity as well, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, as we read there in 2 Timothy 3. So reading is basic for all of our schooling. It's basic in our learning our history, our geography, our math, and our science. All of that is built together. We need to learn how to read instructions, how to read labels in stores and the owner's manuals that come with different equipment that we may purchase and use in our business. And so reading is very, very important. Secondly is writing, the second R, writing. We must emphasize good grammar. We must be able to write well. And I fear that maybe this is going downhill. I don't know what other teachers might say, but I wonder if we're keeping up in our writing. You know, there doesn't seem to be a right and a wrong way of writing anymore. I see more slang coming through, less punctuation, maybe even less capitalization. And I'm going to blame text messaging on some of the sloppy grammar that might be coming through among our people. You can have other ideas if you want. I'll just give that for what it's worth. Working for Christian Light, we're always looking for writers. I'll give you my story. I grew up Old Order Amish until I was about 14 years old. And I went to an Amish school, and my teacher did not like English grammar. And guess what? She just decided on her own not to teach grammar. Would you boys like that? I hope not. Well, then my parents moved to another community, and I went to a Mennonite school where my teacher was a former high school English teacher. And she would have nothing to do with this boy who grew up without his English grammar, and she immediately put me back into both 7th and 8th grade grammar, and she hammered it into my little skull. Some of it stuck. Grammar is still not my strong point. I feel handicapped in that as well. But I share that with your children especially, because sometimes you may ask your parents, and you might even ask your teacher, when will I ever use this? And I won't ask for a raise of hands if you ever ask that question. But I could have asked that question, but I had no clue that I would end up teaching for many years and working for Christian Light in curriculum development. And so we need writers. Christian Light needs writers. Other publishers need writers for your Sunday school lessons, your Sunday school papers. Probably many of you know the loss we have at Christian Light when we lost Brother Keith Kreider, one of our main editors and prolific writer. So someone needs to step in and fill the void that his death left us there at Christian Light. What will this generation have to offer in the years to come as more of us older ones pass on to our rewards from our work? Number three is arithmetic. We call it math today. You know, we live in an age of calculators and computers, and while they have their place, we must still teach our children mental math and manual computation. Multiplication tables, addition and subtraction, fact memorization are very, very important. And I fear maybe some of these areas are breaking down. I'll let you see what it's like in your school and the schools that you represent. But I think we need to be careful and teach these things. Math is used in the marketplace, whether it's in construction, whether it's in the bulk food store, or wherever you may find yourself. And we must train more school teachers. Seems there's always a shortage of school teachers, and I don't know what your experience here has been. And while I've talked about reading, writing, and arithmetic, I'd like to add a fourth one. It doesn't start with an R, so it doesn't quite fit that. But I'd like to talk about values. What are the values that you have in life? We must teach our children the absolutes, that there is a right and a wrong, that things are not relative, but things there are absolutes. We must be able to model for our children, and especially teachers, that it's wrong to lie and cheat and steal in school and otherwise. And so we must be teaching our children along these ways. I'd like to talk a little bit. Here's a quote. A Christian education combines the acquiring of intellectual skills, the teaching of academic knowledge, and the broadening of a child's social awareness with the training of Christian attitudes, character, and habits to develop a well-balanced individual. So just repeating a bit of that, Christian attitudes, character, and habits to make a well-balanced individual. And that is part of the goals that we have in Christian education. We want to teach children that God has revealed himself to us in creation and in his word, and bring our children's lives into conformity with the word, the written word, and the living word. And so how do we bring all of that about? The Bible teaches us basic absolute truth. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God is absolute. God is. He is the I am. He is the great I am. We also get a lot of standards for living in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And even when things are going in very bad ways around us, the morals of the society around us, we have the gender confusions and all of that. God's word never changes. We can count on it. It is solid, just as solid today as it was for our fathers and grandfathers and for many, many generations. Let's never lose sight of that. It also, Christian education integrates faith and learning. It's not a matter that we're learning secular things and then Sundays we come and we learn spiritual things, but we're integrating that together in the Christian school. And so we teach Bible truth and knowledge, but then we also help our children to put it into practice. That's one of the goals of our schools. So how do we make it practical? Are we indoctrinating our children with patriotism? I'm not going to talk about the election, but we're at a very crucial time, and it's very easy for us to get stirred up. But are we giving a proper attitude toward government in the troubled times in which we live? There's so much that can be taught in the incorrect way. Where is the fear of God? Have we lost the fear of God as we once had? Where is the fear of judgment? Are we raising a generation that lives to be eternally secure? You know, we don't teach eternal security as a doctrine as such, but I wonder, are we living as if we have eternal security and making grace too easy? These are things that we are being influenced by Protestantism and fundamentalists, and I fear that maybe this is making inroads into our churches and into our schools. But I want to bless this community from the impact of curriculum in your schools and changes that were made in the last decades, and I believe that this is a move that is positive, and I want to commend you for that. We center our education on Christ. Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we want to focus on the authority and centrality of Scripture in all that we do. In Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I'm again intrigued by how much in my notes comes to wisdom. I thank the brother for that very good opening this morning as a foundation for what we're looking at here. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in John 5:23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. And then in Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus came and spake unto him, saying, all scripture is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Christian education also teaches us that we are not our own. We belong to God when we come to him, and he has a claim on our life. In Acts 17, I read, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We are the offspring of Jesus Christ as we come to him in faith for salvation. And all that we do needs to be done for his honor and for his glory. It's not about me. It's about him and what he has done for us. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imagination and every thought, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we have the word and we focus on Jesus, but we also rely on the Holy Spirit within us, teaching us as we teach our children. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, I'd like to read a few verses here. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man that is in him? And again, we had this morning. But the Spirit of God, now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And so without the Holy Spirit, we as parents and grandparents and teachers, we would be very, very limited and very, very handicapped. But we have the Holy Spirit as our guide, working from within that which he wants us to do. John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In conclusion, a few thoughts and a few scriptures. In Christian education, whether it's in the home or in the school or in the church, it's not enough just to teach. But it must be lived. It must be modeled. May God help us to do that at home, in school, or wherever we find ourselves. Closing with 2 Timothy 3, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that the child of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thank you for your attention. I'd like to commend you as a congregation, as a community, to go out and model and be a witness to all that you meet in your work, in your school, or wherever it may be, that God may be glorified and magnified in this community for his honor and for his glory.